When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood because I'm in Pittsburgh and that's where Mr. Rogers is from. But I am, it's Monday. I'm Dominic D'Angelo. Welcome to Rumor and Innuendo. I'm here with none of my tag team partner, Mr. Robert Karpolis, WD Creative underscore ish. Robert, got some stuff to cover. We threw out the rundown sheet.
We threw the run sheet out. Dom put together a really nice run sheet and some of it is now outdated. Because of this is the beauty of being able to do a show live, being able to do a show daily, is we can just jump on and just start talking about stuff that's going on. I feel like I'm doing your intro role here, and that's fine, guys. We switch it up a little bit here today, but we're going to be talking the WWE draft, the SmackDown component, the Raw component, Vince hiring a PR firm was something we may get to. We may even get to more Billy in the CW news. You never know what's going to happen. A couple quick shout outs there. Antonio Santos, happy Mustache Monday, guys.
No more. It's gone.
It's the mustache has been future endeavored.
It has.
Terribly sorry. If you missed the mustache.
90 day non compete with the mustache.
Yeah. If you missed the mustache, you can go back into the archives and check out Dom's mustache. Bingy 24/7 says, good evening, lads. Bring on the Razzlin news. And Ken says, what's up, y'all? Why is Cesaro Robert's new co-host? Yeah, this is the there's no hat, there's no bandana. It is just Dom's dome, white t-shirt. Happy Monday, Dom. How are you?
Happy Monday. Good. Yeah, rushed around a little bit this morning. It was a little chaotic, but
these things will happen. I had the same on my end. What I wanted to start with, I wanted to talk about, because we kind of dove a little deep on Friday into the Tony Khan AEW angle. Got a lot of positive feedback from that over the weekend. If you missed the episode, I highly recommend going back and checking it out. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, and the like.
Friday, Robert went into lawyer mode with all that. It was good stuff.
Yeah, awesome. It was creative team logic. Tony showed a complete abandonment of logic when he went on the NFL Network, and he did a couple things. First, he positioned this as they are Pepsi to WWE's Coke. He tried to amp up the rivalry between the two organizations by saying, quote, the entire company is evil. We are battling an evil company. And then he did something which sounded vaguely familiar to me, Dom. Vaguely familiar. He said Vince McMahon is like Harvey Weinstein.
He said WWE is like Harvey Weinstein.
Well, he said WWE is like Harvey Weinstein with the comparison. So, all right. Here's the
We didn't talk about this on Friday, did we?
No, we did not talk about this on Friday. We did not get to this on Friday, but as a show that is unfortunately intimately familiar with the concept of somebody drawing comparisons to Harvey Weinstein, I think here is the important takeaway, at least for that element of it. The accusations were against Vince McMahon for private things that he did, whether they were consensual or not is what the courts are going to be looking into. But the defense that Vince McMahon has is he had a private relationship, as deeply disturbing as it was, and that is the source of the legal action that's taking place. The idea that the entirety of the company is similar to what occurred with Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein was someone in a professional capacity who was engaging in what has been determined by courts extensively, non-consensual actions, where he was basically threatening actresses and saying, if you do not do X, Y, and Z, I will make sure you never work in this industry. He also physically assaulted these women in sexual assault manners. I know there's going to be conversation, but well, certain things were thrown out, not thrown out. Totally separate argument than what's here. But the categorization, the framing that WWE is an evil company and we are battling an evil company. Brian Alvarez of Wrestling Observer had the following to say. He said that he talked, he said, I'm not going to do the Brian voice because it doesn't sound like this, but I talked to people in both companies and I will say this about what was said. I can tell you from talking to people in AEW, obviously the WWE people thought it was ridiculous that he even said it, but I heard people in AEW saying the same thing, a lot of it. Tony had this spotlight put onto him for a number of different reasons. And we went into that last week. He had the physical altercation on camera within kayfabe with Jack Perry and the Young Bucks.
Right.
He wore a brace. The NFL put out a goofy press release about it. He was talked about by Rich Eisen multiple times. He was talked about by Pat McAfee. Everyone saw it. And now it's like, hey, what's going on here with Tony Khan? And when he had the microphone and he had the spotlight, he chose to make this another WWE versus AEW fight. And he made this morality argument that they are an evil company. We are a virtuous company and we must overcome the evildoers. Dom, when you heard this, what was your first thought?
How could you say something like that on NFL programming? I defended Tony Khan in making the move of doing that and kind of ripping the Band-Aid off and making those ties with his NFL connections and stuff like that. He completely just crapped all over that, basically, where it's just like you had that connection, you made the buzz, you got the buzz, whether it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, no matter what, you got the word out about it. And here you get that platform and you say something like that, and it completely dissipates it all. It completely just overshadows what you kind of did this past Wednesday through NFL draft Saturday or Sunday, whatever it was. And so now you put yourself behind the eight ball again when it comes to that. And it's just not good. It's horrible. It's a horrible look. And yeah, it's not professional whatsoever on either sides of your job, whether you're AEW president or part owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's not good. It looks bad.
It's negative attention from someone who, all right, I'm going to be critical to a degree that I wasn't even prepared to 7 minutes ago when we started the show.
Let's go.
Tony Khan, in a lot of ways, is a huge mark. Not really much of a surprise. Part of what he is a mark for, because he and I are the same age. We viewed wrestling the same way at the same time. The Monday Night Wars. Mm-hmm. WWF versus WCW was such a hot time for the industry, but it's a miscategorization to remember why it was such a hot time. It was a hot time because Eric Bischoff was given the keys to the kingdom by Ted Turner, given a blank checkbook, and said, your one goal, beat WWE. And by beat them, it was put them out of business. Go put a television show head to head with Raw. Take their talent and make sure that this company does not exist. That became the edict. And it led to the tribalization in wrestling, because if you were a fan of both companies, you were rooting for one company to succeed to watch another company be destroyed. In the current world with AEW and WWE, there is enough to go around. You see the talent on Raw. You see the talent on SmackDown. You see the talent on NXT. And then you look at the talent at AEW. You look at the talent in TNA. And you go, there are a lot of insanely great wrestlers, men, women, across the board, who can main event, who can draw money. You look at, you know, and again, in TNA, you got Mustafa Ali, you got Nick Nemeth. Mm-hmm. Really talented guys that there wasn't an opportunity for them in WWE. They found their niche. The AEW roster, starting with Will Ospreay on down, you go 15 people deep before you're moving out of the territory of something that a casual fan who doesn't even really watch wrestling who would know who these people are. It's pretty damn good. You don't need the war. The war does no good for anybody because you're on Wednesday nights. You're not opposite Raw, SmackDown, NXT, None of it. You have the night to yourself. You have Saturday night to yourself, absent a PLE. So you want to make it feel like, hey, if you like what's going on over here, come on over to us. You like Raw? Come watch AEW. You like SmackDown? Come watch AEW. You feel that that show isn't catering to you? We're going to cater to you. We are open to everybody. And when you go on TV, when you go on the NFL Network, like, that is not your niche audience.
No.
That's the, we talked about this before when he talked about airing the footage. And he had that conversation on a Washington, D.C. sports podcast. Wasn't on The Observer. Wasn't talking to Dominic's best friend in the world, Sean Ross Sapp.
Right.
He was there talking to a non-wrestling audience. Same thing with the NFL Network. And it puts you in this really awkward, really goofy light to say they're evil, we're good. Because when people think of the WWE right now, they know it's owned by TKO. They know that The Rock is on the board of directors. They know Triple H is in charge. At the any other programming in the sports world, you're aware of those nominal things. You're aware of WrestleMania. You're not still thinking that this is a Vince McMahon-run company. If Vince was still in charge and these accusations were out there, you can have a slightly different conversation. But what Tony did, and it did, and on top of just being reckless, because we learned here firsthand, when you make that Harvey Weinstein comparison, you are really entering into territory that people do not want to be in. You don't put your company in a positive spotlight. Nobody heard that and said, you know what? I'm now going to tune into Dynamite. I'm excited for this. And you shouldn't make the audience feel that they have to tune into your show purely for moral reasons. Right. That morally speaking, well, this is the slightly more virtuous company, despite the fact that there were the questions and issues that arose with Chris Jericho. There were questions and issues with how Tony Khan handled the Big Swole situation that people remember in the past. There were issues with a number of backstage fights that have occurred in this company, two of which involving CM Punk, two of which involving Sammy Guevara, the questions and issues over some of the medical treatments that occurred with some people. We think back to that Matt Hardy fall and the outcome of that, the fact that Tony kept Jeff Hardy hired after Jeff Hardy was engaged in a pretty just ridiculous DUI situation.
DUI, yeah.
So there's always going to be questions that occur. Wrestling is not a great world to enter into for morality's sake.
No, and Robert, I think too, like in the early start of AEW and things like that, it was kind of fun to have that kind of competitive digs at one another for the start off. And like, in a way, you could have kind of cultivated that, but you didn't hold up as AEW as a company didn't hold up their end of the bargain when it comes to the certain of being that viable company. It's a viable company, don't get me wrong, and it's a good source for wrestlers to go to. But you didn't reach to the level that you got there. You were rising up there. You were getting over a million viewers on a pretty consistent basis starting off, but then you dip back down because of the decision-making, the booking that you handled it. So therefore, there's not really a competition here. WWE looks like the better animal in this situation where it's just like, you know, yeah, they're more put together. They don't speak about AEW. They don't take digs at AEW. And Tony Khan continues to go back to that well because of what you're saying, that point of having that Monday Night War allure to it, where this is not the case. And you're going way too far by putting a Weinstein note on it, anything like this whatsoever, because it's Pepsi and Harvey Weinstein. I immediately made those comparisons. No, it makes zero sense.
It's very weird. It also, the Coke and Pepsi argument, in and of itself shows Tony doesn't understand what the hell is going on here. The fact that when you have Coke or Pepsi, the idea is I can only consume one. I'm at the store. I have my $2 or whatever it costs to buy a thing of soda. I'm either going to buy Coke or I'm going to buy Pepsi. I'm not going to have both at the same time. You can watch WWE and AEW. This may be critical of AEW, not WWE, but we watch both shows.
Right.
I'll speak for myself, but I have friends in both companies. I want to see them succeed. I want to see AEW become a viable national and global brand. To that global end, DAZN announced today that they are removing AEW programming from international platforms, Dom. That was on SE Scoops, by the way.
And that would just only hit my radar. Like, I was aware of it, but I didn't know, wow, okay, they had a multi-year deal going down. It was something that was, like, a little more concrete. And here, they're just backing out. They're done with it. It's pretty wild to see. And Robert, do you think that speaks to what any of Tony Khan's actions this weekend or anything like that?
I think it's looking at the trajectory of the company and seeing where it's going to go. And the idea of, yes, they were doing over a million viewers. Now they've decreased significantly from that. You're not seeing that forward momentum, but you're seeing Tony open up the purse strings and paying a lot of money for Okada, for Mercedes Moné, for Will Ospreay, and seeing where they're moving the needle. Eric Bischoff, ad-free shows brethren.
Yes.
I don't always agree with Bischoff, but he said Mercedes Moné being allowed to cut promos the way she has is decreasing her value. And we've said that on here, that WWE used that Paul Heyman mentality of accentuate the positives, hide the negatives.
Right.
And when you see Mercedes is out there for these 4, 5, 6, 7 minute long promos, sometimes they're not helping any. You recalibrate, you adjust. And I don't think that he has that muscle to do so. He is a fan of Paul Heyman, as you should be, but the lessons he's taking from Paul are not aligning. Heyman is the kind of guy who's going to fight the good fight, and he's going to fight everybody else because he needed to. He didn't have money. He didn't have the financial backing. So it's like, here's the talent roster I got. I got guys and girls that WWE and WCW don't know about, don't want. They think they're too small. They think they're too extreme, whatever that may be. I'm going to make them stars. Tony doesn't have to worry about that. He can go and buy pretty much anybody he wants. Problem is, that talent is seeing what's going on with a Jade Cargill, with a Cody Rhodes, with a CM Punk, with an Andrade. They're thriving when they go back to the WWE environment. So this idea of tribalism is now the only option Tony thinks he has, which is insane. Yeah. You go on NFL Network and you say, guys, I have the most insane athletes in the world outside of what you just saw drafted today. You want to see something incredible? You go see what Claudio Castagnoli can do in that ring. The man is a tank. The man is a machine. You want to see big dudes like these offensive linemen? Here's Will Hobbs. Here's Wardlow. Look at what these guys are doing. That's how you leverage that opportunity and go elsewhere. You don't go on to the NFL Network or anywhere that's not wrestling world and try to argue wrestling tribalism. It's not going to make any sense whatsoever. It's just going to leave your roster withered and limp. And guys, if you're concerned about being withered and limp, let's talk about our friends at Blue Chew. My God, it was hard to get to a segue there, but we did it because this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Visit BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Tony Khan does not have the confidence in AEW, and he's constantly making excuses for his performance, but that's not going to be you, guys, because Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code RUMOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code RUMOR to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. Can you guys believe that people pay on ad-free shows to miss ad reads?
That's right.
Like, why would this? It's like literally one of the best segments of the show.
Quality content right there.
It's quality content. You know it was not quality content, Mr. D'Angelo?
What, Robert?
The draft on SmackDown.
I'm glad you said that because I tell you what, the draft is just, I don't like it. I liked AJ and Cody. I liked SmackDown in general. I don't like the draft, really, after how they delivered it. It was very confusing, Robert. I don't know. What were your thoughts on that?
I liked when the draft was one show. I get that you need to do it across two. And I said when we did our draft preview, you're not really going to be able to see the entire board until you see everything. The takeaway from night one was they like the rosters as they are.
Yes.
Maybe we don't need a draft. The biggest takeaways from the draft in terms of who moved where, Andrade moved to SmackDown, which we predicted here on this show. Braun right. Breaker going over to Raw. And Kiana James was the NXT call-up that we didn't know about since Carmella Hayes was already kind of part of SmackDown. The only other thing was they figured out the Roman Reigns problem. I had said I thought that the Bloodline was going to be the number one draft pick, and then I thought Bianca may go to Raw to try to save face, but they said it's the Bloodline. Roman Reigns ineligible. He's pulled himself, even though they made a big deal that he was. They fit it into the narrative. They fit it into the storyline. I will give them all the credit in the world for that. But the idea that Bianca Belair was the number one draft pick was a little bit of like, all right, we're sorry we didn't feature you prominently at WrestleMania. We want to show that we're actually investing in Bianca Belair. But here's where we're at.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's like from the way people were drafted, if you're like going from a logical standpoint, like Bianca Belair is obviously a top pick. Jey Uso is a top pick, but is he more than Seth Rollins? And then even the Bloodline without Roman Reigns, you'd think would still be way up there because you're getting a three-package deal with Tama Tonga, Paul Heyman. And
well, within kayfabe, you can explain the Seth Rollins pick simply with the idea that he is out injured.
Sure.
But even that's, yeah, you're straining credibility, though Jey Uso is the number one contender. And, you know, the ranking system, Dom, it really, oh, that's the other company. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. The idea of who gets picked where was mainly designed to help enhance the Bloodline storyline. So I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, the picks were fine. I'm glad they didn't try to shake things up too much. Right. I know there's the second half of it tonight, and you have a list of 75 people who are eligible and active. We're going to spare. I appreciate you typing it up. We're going to spare the audience. I think the biggest takeaways in terms of the names, CM Punk.
Yep.
Kevin Owens.
Yep.
Jade Cargill. Drew. And I was building.
Oh,
building the tension.
Don't forget Odyssey Jones, too, though.
Don't forget. I just met Odyssey Jones a couple months ago. He is deceptively like a big, impressive looking guy.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, so Drew, who I'm sure he's not super thrilled that The Rock revealed that he re-signed, but Drew re-signed with the WWE. I really hope Punk gets drafted ahead of Drew. Like, I hope Punk is the number one draft pick. And then the second draft pick for Raw is Drew, and Drew is angry that Punk got drafted ahead of him.
Yeah. that would be a good ripple in the storyline for sure. And it would make sense. It'll be an interesting show. It's just, you know, some of this aspects of like, okay, you're having a draft, make it kind of feel like a draft, make the stakes feel, it's just kind of, I don't know. It feels like a big speed bump in the after effects of WrestleMania where
this is not the time to do a draft.
Right.
I think is part of the problem. You're coming off of Mania where you have a bunch of storylines already cooked up, already ready to go. It feels a lot like they have to versus want to, which is insane because you're creating your own rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if again, Hunter, I know you're listening because I know you like Dom's haircut and you've stolen his run. You don't have to do a draft now. You can save that stuff for another time of the year. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Someone who is okay are our friends at Warner Discovery.
That's right. They are okay. The AEW ratings obviously crashed after Wednesday. That was some of the news going into it. Not necessarily because of the Tony Khan angle at the end, but it just saw a dip. The show saw 683,000 home tune in for the post-Dynasty edition of Dynamite, a 10% decrease from the previous week. And it is the lowest average audience an episode of AEW Dynamite has earned since January 6th of 2021.
Heck of a date.
Heck of a date to memorize there. Very notable there. Yeah. PW Insider happened to reach out to Warner Brothers Discovery, a source there, and noted internally, though, that the company was actually really happy with this week's Dynamite numbers. The source noted that AEW had a lot of competition due to the NBA and NHL playoffs, and that AEW still was sixth for the evening on basic cable. The only thing to beat it out other than NBA coverage and the NHL playoffs was the ESPN coverage of the NHL playoffs. They scored higher in the 18 to 49 demographic that evening. So the source also acknowledged the audio issues from TBS at the end of things that impacted the show a little bit as well. Robert, we've been pretty darn critical today of AEW. What do you think about this? It kind of makes sense. You know, that obviously a lot of playoffs going on. Sports are happening. So
look, we beat them down last week with how they presented that Dynamite after and the fact that it didn't draw these huge ratings. The defense of, well, the playoffs were going on is a good way for them to save face. Mm-hmm. Warner Discovery is going to be happy because, again, Tony, I know you hate to think this, there is not a competition. There is not a war between the two sides. So 600 something thousand people, they're still going to be happy if that's outdrawing an old episode of The Big Bang Theory. Like, that's kind of your competition. It's a different world than what it used to be, where USA Network and TNT had original programming and they'd say, look, guys, Pacific Blue is going to draw a better rating than Raw, so you guys got to outpace that. Turner is going to be fine with what's going on, especially because the people who were not watching Dynamite were over on the other channel within their family watching the basketball games. So it's a great way for them to kind of cover and save face. Oh, and sorry, there's a quick unrelated note from our good friend, the Blue Meanie, who said, my draft pet peeve is saying someone being drafted to a show they are already on. I wish they would say the show is retaining the talent they are drafting. I get that. I think the idea is everybody, when you're up for grabs, you are released from your brand. And then it's just you're starting from scratch. But don't make me have to defend the draft anymore.
Honestly, though, Robert, I would just like it straight up if it was called the NXT draft. And I know you have to worry about what the product NXT product is going to do, but you should make a pool there. And then that would feel more like a draft. You're picking up people from the third brand there and getting them implemented. I don't know. If you're going to do it, make it feel pretty darn cool, like a new start to a post-WrestleMania season.
So I don't know. We'll see how it is tomorrow after Raw. And we'll be back here tomorrow at noon Eastern. But if in the interim, if for the next 23 and a half hours, you're thinking, I wish I could hear more Dominic D'Angelo, where can the fine folks find you?
Hey, yeah. Monday, 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that's today. You will be a new episode of One of a Kind with RVD. We have a special guest. It rhymes with RVD. It's Rene Dupree. He is our special guest for this week. And so check it out. Really fun conversation that we do. He tells some good stories. Rob and him break down some philosophical stuff. It's a lot of fun. Great episode. And tomorrow, go to fourhorsemannetwork.com. Oh, by the way, if you want to check out that RVD podcast, go to rvdtv.com or subscribe and like us on the iTunes, on the Spotify, whatever you listen to. But Straight Talk with the Boss on fourhorsemannetwork.com. We got Magnum TA, Greg Gagne. We're talking some managers, some classic managers. Bobby Heenan and Jim Cornette are our focus this week. Unexpectedly, too, just like this rundown was. So, but Love Robert, it. We got some news on the WrestleRose front, too. How about it?
Well, we're going to break that on WrestleRose this Friday. A new brand name for the show going for. It's going to be the same show you guys know and love. It's going to be myself, Dan St. Germain, Scott Chapman, Mike Lawrence, three incredibly talented comedians talking the world of wrestling. We decided to change the name a little bit, switch it up. But what's not changing is the fact that Rumor and Innuendo is here every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern live on the WWE Creative _ISH X account, Dominic D'Angelo X account, Podcast Heat X account. Podcast Heat is who makes this show possible. The SE Scoops X account, the Rumor and Innuendo YouTube page. And Tuesday through Friday, no matter what that damn Jeff Jarrett wants, we're on the ad-free shows YouTube page. So on behalf of the not quite clean shaven but finally mustache free Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpolis. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Very European.